Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It is so good for us to be together as we continue this Lenten journey that we began this past Wednesday on Ash Wednesday. I'm so glad that you are here, that you are with us, and that together we can take this journey of contemplation and meditation, of confession and repentance. Today, beginning today, you may have seen it as you walked in, we have yard crosses, lawn crosses. This is an effort from the Evangelism Committee for us to place that cross on our front lawn, someplace in a garden. It's a simple way for us to declare our faith. And so they are available. We're hoping that you'll just take one per family, but they are available and you have a chance to put them in your lawn and show the world from where we find our strength. And so yard crosses are available today. Starting this coming Wednesday, we continue our Lenten journey with midweek Lent services. The services are on Wednesday nights. They begin at 7 p.m. The service will include hymns and prayers. And then this year, we're looking at the symbols of the 12 disciples that are painted on that archway there. You may have been using that as something to look at and try to figure out or contemplate for years. But this year at Lent services, we will be looking at those symbols. This first week, this coming Wednesday, we're going to be looking and learning about the symbols for the apostles Andrew and his brother Peter. Please join us. There are lots of other announcements in the bulletin, and I hope that you have a chance to read through them. But we have all gathered this morning so that we might be in worship. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song. The song is Rising. Let us rise and sing together.
From the rising of the sun till the sun goes down, let the name of the Lord be praised. The rising of the sun till the sun goes down, let the name of the Lord be praised.
We gather to worship, we come in a choir to sing your praise, lifting our voices, joining our hearts in this house today, people of God. Darkest place, people of God, in the power of God, for the kingdom of God we live. From the rising of the sun till the sun goes down, let the name of the Lord be praised. From the rising of the sun till the sun goes down, let the name of the Lord be praised. From the sky to the depths, rising of the sun till the sun goes down, let the name of the Lord be praised. From the rising of the sun till the sun goes down, let the name of the Lord be praised. From the sky to the depths, from the east to the west, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise. From the rising
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, The struggle between good and evil rages within and around us. And the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word. And when we fall, raise us again and restore us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 2, beginning at the 15th verse. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was craftier than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from Romans chapter 5, beginning at the 12th verse. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sin were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sins. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive an abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 4th chapter. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" And again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" And the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated. I would love to invite any children to come on forward. Here she is.
from a lion. Oh, there went the shoe.
You know what that is? What is it?
An exclamation point. Last week, we didn't have a children's sermon at this service.
It's all right.
Because last week was an exclamation point Sunday because it was transfiguration and we put aside a word we're not using right now. We're not using alleluia in worship right now because it's such an exclamation point word. All right. We started Lent. You were there. We started Lent, and Lent is 40 days where we take time to think about who we are and how we live. But if you can't count the days from Ash Wednesday to Maundy Thursday, there's more than 40 of them. So is it the fact that the early church didn't know how to count? It's all about Sunday. The Sunday in Lent aren't of Lent. They're not part of those days that we're counting. They're Sundays in Lent because Sunday is a day when we get to be a little bit happy because every Sunday is a little Easter. It's a little day when we remember that Jesus rose from the dead for you, for you, for you, for you, for me, and even for him. We may not be able to pull out the exclamation point today, but every Sunday for us is a celebration of Jesus' resurrection. It's a day when even if we're in the middle of Lent and remembering our sinfulness, we come here and we stand a little taller and we accept the gift that God gives us because today is Easter, even in Lent. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for being with us. More importantly, Lord, we thank you for your resurrection and the power that resurrection has changed our lives. Help us to celebrate your resurrection every Sunday and keep us always as the apple of your eye. We thank you for this day, Lord. Amen.
You got a great day. Thank you. Exclamation. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time I read today's gospel story, I think, I can't do that. And I can't. How could I? I have been told and taught from a very young age that I am a sinner and that I can't do that. I have also lived a life that has shown me unequivocally that I am a sinner and I can't do that. Now, even though that's true for me, and even that's true for you, and even though that's true for all of us, we hear this story of Jesus in the wilderness being tempted every year as we begin the Lenten season. We hear how Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness for 40 days and then tempted. This is Jesus' final preparation for his ministry. After his baptism, he's heading back towards Nazareth and Capernaum, and he's walking in the wilderness, and he's fasting, and he's pondering, and he's praying, and he's meditating. Now, that in and of itself is kind of an impressive thing, but when you add to that story what we hear in the gospel today about the temptations and about how Jesus resists, then it becomes a singular achievement, and I can't do that. Jesus walked back from the Jordan River to Nazareth in the wilderness, and he fasted there 40 days and 40 nights. Now, that should sound familiar. It's the same amount of time that the rains fell in the Noah and flood story. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights as he got the tablets of stone. Elijah was 40 days in escaping from Queen Jezebel. In more recent history, Martin Luther King Jr. fasted for 40 days. I was part of a 40-hour fast in high school, and that was hard enough. 40 days? I can't do that. But then the bulk of our gospel story today comes at the end of those 40 days when the devil comes to tempt Jesus. At his baptism in the Jordan, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, there was a voice from heaven that proclaimed Jesus as my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And from that moment on, we know that Jesus is the Son of God. So then when the devil comes to tempt Jesus, he begins them all with this phrase, "If you are the Son of God," which is the devil trying to define what Son of God will mean. The devil is implying that any good Son of God would do this, whether it's turning stones into bread or jumping from the temple or worshiping something other than God in order to rule the world. The devil is trying to make these things he's tempting Jesus at look acceptable, look easy. He's trying to make them look like it's the thing to do, and Jesus is having none of it. For 40 days, Jesus has been praying and pondering the ministry that he will begin in Nazareth. For 40 days, Jesus has been in communion with the Father and the Spirit as they move together towards our salvation. For 40 days, Jesus has been coming to terms with his status as Son of God, his status as God the Son, his status as Messiah and Savior. And he's been dealing with all the implications of all of that. Jesus knows that it won't be easy for him. It won't be pain-free. There will be struggles and trials, betrayals and denials. But Jesus has taken this time, these 40 days, to face the possibilities. And so the devil doesn't have a chance. But I can't do that. Now, the good news that I get to share today is that Jesus doesn't expect us to do that. Jesus doesn't expect any of us to be able to do all that he does, but Jesus does encourage us to try. Following Jesus does not imply that we must do all that he has done or we are not part of the group. What we need is to love one another. We need to love our neighbors. We need to go into the world with the love of God along with us. And that is enough for us to try because Jesus is with us. You see, when the devil tempts Jesus, Jesus' response is to fall back on Scripture and on his relationship with God. This way, Jesus is guiding us where we too can find our strength. Our lives of faith spring from the love of God. Our resistance to temptation springs from that same love of God. Scripture is our way of hearing God speaking to us. From Moses to the prophets to the gospel and beyond, God is urging us to love our neighbors as we love our God. We are called to remember the widows and the orphans and to think about the people around us in need, especially the ones whom the world tossed aside. When Jesus is tempted, he falls back on the Word of God as he stands as the living embodiment of the Word of God. And he says no. Now, I cannot imagine how hungry Jesus is after 40 days of fasting. But instead of turning stones into whoppers, Jesus looks to God's word and to his relationship with God, and he finds the strength to say no. Instead of leaping from the pinnacle of the temple, thereby ensuring an audience of people who just love the guy who walks on air, Jesus finds in God's word and in his relationship with God the strength to say no. When given the opportunity to rule the world, and imagine that, this world could so use the love and the care, all the things that Jesus would bring as he ruled the world. And he's tempted. You can do this, Jesus, if only you will worship something other than God. And Jesus again turns to Scripture and into God's presence with him in order to say no. I can't do that. You can't either. At least we can't do that every time or all the time. We're too human. We're too flawed. We're too fallen. Jesus came, though, so that we might be saved from our humanness, saved from our fallenness, saved from our sinfulness. Jesus didn't come so that he could show us that if we were just a little bit better, or a little bit stronger, or a little bit more faithful and sincere, then we could do all of this stuff. Jesus came to live the law and the prophets because we cannot. Jesus came in love and concern to care and forgive us all. Jesus came to show us that temptation is not as overwhelming as we would believe, and that with Him beside us, with the love of God to guide us, we can try and we can resist. We can love God and love our neighbors. And when we fall, we can repent, we can turn back, and we can try again. After this story in the gospel, Jesus goes to Nazareth and begins to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Today, Jesus has shown us the power of the kingdom in resisting temptations. And then Jesus tells us that we can be part of that kingdom as well. We can be part of God's dream. Not as the humans we were before, but as the beloved children of God we are now, touched by the forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes to us from Christ Himself. Jesus' ministry is an attempt to show us, through the Word of God and through the presence of God's love all around us, what our lives can look like, even if it's just for brief moments. Our lives are transformed by God's love, by the gifts of fun and table, by the care of our sisters and brothers all around us. And Jesus is encouraging us to live those transformed lives for the sake of the neighbors all around us. We can do that. We can try. We will fail. But with Christ by our side, we have hope. We always have hope. And so as we continue our Lenten journey together, may we learn that even if we can't do all that Jesus does, we can try. We can love. We get to make a difference in the lives of those around us. That I can do, or at least I will try. Amen. I invite you to rise as we continue together our Lenten confession. Holy God, have mercy on me in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done. O purify me, then shall I be clean. O wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. From my sins turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the good news of God's love. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And hear again of God's love. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life. It is the love of God that saves us, and it is Jesus who sets us free. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us now pray for the church, for the world, and all of creation. You alone are God. Sustain your church in times of wilderness. Give vision and wisdom to bishops, their staff, and all entrusted with ministry of administration. Counsel all who faithfully lead your people into the future. Lord, in your mercy, you create verdant gardens and expansive deserts. Tend to the needs of every living creature. Bless those who work in field and orchards, that the world is nourished by the fruit of their labor. Lord, in your mercy, you know our temptations. Sustain those who govern and legislate. Instill in them a sense of your justice and righteousness, that peace would pervade all the regions and nations of the world. Lord, in your mercy, you are a hiding place for all in distress. Draw near to refugees, especially children who travel alone. In times of trouble, trauma, or illness, surround your people with your steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy, God of healing and grace, there are many people who need your presence and power. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us who need your wholeness and your health. We pray for Sharon, Randy, Phyllis, Don, Stephanie, Judith, Ashley, Gary, and Judy, for Rhonda and Jim. Come, Lord Jesus, and save us all. Lord, in your mercy, you offer abundance to all. Bless the ministries in this place. Care for those who tend to the needs of others. Lord, in your mercy, you alone are God. We praise you for the faithful departed in every age. Unite our prayers with theirs until the wilderness journey is complete and we rest in you. Lord, in your mercy, we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promises to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of grace and glory go with you as you follow this Lenten path, wherever it takes you and to whomever it takes you. May you go with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you have a blessed week as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Never runs out on me. Your love never fails.